Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm very excited about our guest today. I have Mike McLeod with me, and Mike is the founder and CEO of the World Food Championships, the largest culinary competition for the chef pro cook industry. Mike, who has 30 years of marketing experience, started WFC in 2012 and recently acquired the International Chili Society to expand his live event portfolio. He earned a communications degree from the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, after which he worked briefly in New York City for a publishing firm. His true loves of entrepreneurship and content development were combined in 1991 when he formed his first company with just $1,000 saved from his time in New York City. It is my pleasure to welcome Mike to our show today.
It is my pleasure to be with you, Belinda. Hello, and I hope you are well.
We are doing well in this crazy time that we're all in, but we are doing fantastic, and I'm super excited to hear about everything that you're doing. So why don't we jump in and fill in some of the gaps from the bio, but to give us a little bit more idea of exactly what WFC is and what kinds of things you're doing today.
So thank you, and it's great to be with you. The World Food Championships, probably the best way to describe it is if you were to take pro football, and you were to take the NBA playoffs, and you were to mix in a little World Series of Poker with perhaps a dollop of the Westminster Kennel Club, you would then have the World Food Championships. The only difference is we get to eat the protein. So everything's great. It's a lot of fun. It's 500 chef teams coming together from all over the world to try to prove that they are the best in some category that we feature. We have 10 of those. And it's really the epitome of putting way too many cooks in the kitchen, but we have a lot of fun with it. And there is some delicious food that comes out of it.
Wow, I bet there is. So the International Chili Society, I'm guessing that's with a lot of the branded chili cook-offs that are done throughout the country. Am I guessing that correctly?
You are correct. You know, chili is the granddaddy of culinary competition. It's been around for just over 50 years, started by the famous Carroll Shelby of the Shelby Cobra GT fame. Him and some friends just decided that they were really good at cooking chili, and they challenged each other to a chili duel. And lo and behold, a chili society was started out of that. And for 50-something years now, there's been an international chili championship, and we just recently acquired that to add it to our portfolio.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
It's really kind of a full circle moment for me. I worked with the folks who took it over from Carroll Shelby back in the 80s. I worked with them in 2006, 2007, and got a real good taste of the Chili Head Nation and had to pivot a little bit to some other categories of strength and interest. But to be able to come back to the fold and basically pick up the baton from them and carry it forward on behalf of Shelby's fame and the Hancock's fame is really a big honor, and it's a humbling moment, but a very exciting moment too.
Wow, that's great. So let's also get to know you a little bit more. So tell us a little bit about kind of your journey and how it was that you came to found WFC.
Well, if I were going to call myself anything, it would probably be a culinary nomad. I have found my way through marketing to many interesting ventures. And along the way, there was a barbecue client of mine who once asked me. I had run a political campaign for him. He was also the mayor of my hometown, and I was successful in helping him get reelected. And we would travel, and he would travel a lot for barbecue. And he asked me one day if I'd ever considered marketing barbecue? And I said, heck no, but I really do enjoy eating it. And that led to a huge series of meetings. He was representing the Kansas City Barbecue Society at the time, and they had just turned 20 years old. And in their own words, after being started to just have fun, they said, we ought to take this serious and get serious about what we're doing. And they hired they were going to hire a marketing firm. So they hired mine. And we set about a course of action with them to rebrand them, to bring corporate sponsorships into play, to bring a circuit into play, to actually create a league, if you will. And this was circa 2006, 2007, when I was dabbling a little bit in chili, but then really pivoted to barbecue. And it was like seeing NASCAR before NASCAR was NASCAR. There was this whole society of barbecue contests that had popped up, and none of them were connected. They were all silos. And we just felt like, you know, there's something here. These people are certainly passionate enough and crazy enough about their craft that maybe we could funnel that into something positive. And we did. So we set about a game plan. And 4 years into it, the pendulum kind of swung in the right direction. The second contract was put in place, and we ended up fulfilling 3 4-year contracts, about 12 years of working in the barbecue industry, and just got all that smoke in our blood and our bones and in our clothes, and we just couldn't get it out. So that was how I got into culinary competitions, and it laid the groundwork or the foundation for the World Food Championships.
That's great. And I think that's a really great point, as I think sometimes people look at people that, you know, they might look at you with, you run the International Chili Society, or you run this big, you know, championship food competition, but it's like they don't see the steps that happened along the way of where, you know, you started with the barbecue, then you kind of moved into another area. It really truly is a journey. I think anybody's success, it's never usually an overnight success.
Well, and you're absolutely right. In fact, a lot of people who like to look at what we've done and call it a success story and ask me, you know, how did we get there? I tell them all the time that it was just a matter of evolving and expanding, because prior to even getting into the culinary competition field, we spent 15 years as a general marketing firm. We ran political campaigns, we helped banks, we helped insurance companies, we even helped automobile dealers and real estate firms. And so we spent 15 years kind of gathering all this general PR, marketing, advertising experience. And as I look back on it now, as I've entered my 30th year, it basically was paying my dues. It was, mm-hmm. It was earned, you know, I went halfway through my career learning what I needed to learn before I could pivot to the one thing that I absolutely loved and would embrace and would, at the end of the day, call my contribution to the marketplace.
That's awesome. So how has the business shaped your lifestyle today?
It has made me travel insanely. It has made me become an avid and probably OCD runner, because if I don't run off calories, I will explode like the kid in the Willy Wonka story, because I just consume so many calories. I'm around great food, great chefs, great food competitors, and if you don't try their food, you're basically insulting them. So. But it's turned me into a big runner. It's turned me into probably a more emotional person too. I've seen firsthand lives changed by the prize money that we put in play every year, over $300,000. I've seen people use our championship as a motivating factor when they've had physical illness or ailment. And I've seen people become lifelong friends and really create a second family and look toward our event annually as a homecoming. So it's and all of that is an emotional thing. As you sit back and you realize that this snowball is now rolling at its own pace, with its own speed and momentum, and you remember how hard it was pushing it up the hill, and how hard it was to get the momentum going, to see it moving at its own pace and with its own momentum is just a miraculous thing and a remarkable thing. And for an old guy like me, I feel like I'm qualified to say that now. It actually makes you proud, and it makes you a little emotional sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So is the World Food Championships, just to get a little bit more detail, is that a one-time thing, or are there preliminary playoffs that lead people to the making it to these finals, or is it just a one annual event?
We started out, that's a good question, we started out as an annual event, and then we, over the years, realized we needed to find a way to qualify people into mm-hmm. this. So we turned it into an annual league, if you will, an actual, like the NFL is, it has a season, basketball has a season, baseball has a season. Well, guess what? Food sport now has a season. And there are about 800 events that we track every year because the winner of those events gets qualified into the World Food Championships, at least until we're full, and then we go and have a championship. So it's a tournament of champions. They've all won their way in. They won a burger bash, a sandwich slam, a dessert off, a chef throwdown, etc. And then they come compete and try to win the big money.
Got it. So how is, and that then has presented to, that's a full-time business for you then today. Is that accurate?
It is. It is. As you probably well know, for an entrepreneur, there's never really an off day, but our business is a 365-day, 12-calendar-month business. If we're not actively involved in an event somewhere, somehow, judging it or scoring it or celebrating it, we are making plans for the next season. We're looking at our rules and adapting the rules to things that we've seen in the current season. And then we start it all over. Every January, we start over with the new rules and the new challenges for the tournament. So it's a full year-in, year-out process now.
Awesome. So what do you think are a couple of your skill sets that have really helped you succeed in not only this business, but the various businesses that you've had?
Is gumption a skill set?
Sure.
I think determination and communication are probably the two most important assets that I've been able to lean on and utilize day in and day out. Somehow I was born an optimist or trained to be an optimist. So I am determined to always try to achieve, set a goal and then achieve a goal. And having a degree in communication, having 6 years of actual educated training in the spoken word and the written word has helped me as my company needed to adapt or expand or evolve throughout the years. And it's helped us communicate, especially in a world of social media now. It helps us communicate in different ways to different people at different times. So I'm always interested in potential employees who look for a job with us that have communication backgrounds, mm-hmm. journalism or English or anything in the spoken or in the creative arts or communication arts. If they have that kind of background, it usually gives them an edge because we are constantly, constantly communicating with our constituents, whether it's competitors, judges, sponsors, partners, employees, judges, et cetera. So it's very, very important.
That's great. And I think that's an important skill set to start to identify when in hiring employees. I think we sometimes look at an employee for a specific role, but if they if they have those skill sets, even if they're your accountant, it's going to help so much better in communicating to who they need to communicate to. So I have found that that is something that I end up having everybody either write something or do something when they come to work here, because ultimately they're going to end up needing to communicate with someone on the team.
We used to give out these little grammar tests and punctuation tests and spelling tests.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do it anymore because we make people explain to us why they should be a part of our team. And we can usually pick up some of the communication snafus in a written statement.
Yep.
But it used to be that was, I felt it was so critical that we would test people on that very fact. You know, do you know the difference between two and two? Do you know when to use which versus that? You know, things of that nation, all of that, or things of that notion. That's important because you're constantly, let's take a sponsor. You know, in an average walk with a sponsor of our event, we have about 40 communications. And it begins with an introduction, and then it begins with adoption of a concept, and then it begins with execution of it continues with the execution of a concept, and then it ends with a summary of the concept. And all along the way, there's back and forth, you know, what ifs and divergences and meanderings of the project, and perhaps even project creep or project scope creep. So being able to communicate in, around, over, through, about, for, all of those things is critically important.
Right. Absolutely. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments, something that's super meaningful for you, something you're kind of proud of.
You know, I'm just proud of being a part of a great team right now that delivers an exceptional and a unique experience every year for our championship. When you think about 500 teams coming from 40 countries,
wow,
48 states, and they're converging on one location for 5 days to do their best at cooking, and then we have to do our best at creating a level playing field and making it a fair game and calling balls and strikes when we see them, and even having to DQ people at certain times. To be able to get through all that, get to the stage and put a medal around someone's neck, and then to hand them one of those big oversized cardboard checks that has $10,000 or $100,000 written on it. Every year that just puts chills up my spine when we do that, because mm-hmm. people's lives are literally changing, or people are achieving the dream or the goal that they had. Mm-hmm. So to be able to empower that, I think that's the greatest accomplishment that I personally have ever been a part of. And it's not just me. It's a team of staff members that give their all. It's a 300 volunteers. It's 100 independent contractors. It's a bunch of ambassadors. It's about 50 sponsors. So it's a huge community that pulls this thing off. And to be sitting in a position where ultimately I have to make sure the checks don't bounce. It's a big undertaking, and sometimes it is overwhelming, mm-hmm. but it's so invigorating.
That's awesome. Kind of leads us right into the next question, which is, what's one of the greatest obstacles or challenges that you've faced in your business, and how you worked through that?
You know, that is a great question. For me, being the optimist guy and always expecting the best from everyone, the hardest thing that I have faced is when someone is rowing in a different direction. we're all in a boat trying to take it to shore, and somewhere, somehow, I see someone rowing in a different direction or springing a leak in the boat. And I've dealt with that with an ex-partner in my business. And it did not feel good. It did not look good. It created many sleepless nights, and ultimately, like a cancer, I had to find a way to cut that out of the organization. And no matter how right you are, no matter how effective you are when you do something like that, there's still just a negative gut feeling to have to take someone who you really truly believed in and you gave a lot of latitude to take them out of the equation. But it's every entrepreneur's responsibility to understand that we have one mission and we have one direction and we have one team and we have ultimately one result that we're looking for. And if someone can't buy into that, or if someone is working against it, mm-hmm. in some fashion, it's every entrepreneur's responsibility to recognize that and then to rectify that.
I think you said it very eloquently. I just recently went through this myself, and there's nothing easy about it. It's first you recognize it. I think then you have a tendency to want to say, no, this is just today. It's just today this is happening. And then it ends up going into a longer period of time to where then it is starting to affect the overall mission, as you said. What's the mission? You know, what's the end result that we want to get to? But as hard as it is and difficult, you start to see things moving forward at a quicker pace in the direction that you wanted to go. And I think that's the reward of that. But make no mistake, it is a very painful one to have to go through.
It is. And there's never anything, you've heard the saying, if it's worth doing, it's not going to be easy to do. And I sometimes take comfort in that kind of mentality, in that if it's hard to do, then it's worth doing. So when whether it is climbing a hill that's never been climbed, or cutting someone loose from your team who's pulling in a different direction, both of those things are hard to do. But eventually you have to. Once you realize that issue exists, then you have to implement a new strategy, or you're not an effective entrepreneur. And you may bring the whole house down if you don't make the change. So that's the only comfort that I take in it, in that I know I'm right, or I know a certain action is right. And even though I'm going to feel bad about making the change, if it involves a personnel matter, I have to take comfort in knowing that I'm doing the right thing for the overall good. So I've been through those things, and that's probably the toughest things of being in business. There's a lot of great things about being in business. There's a lot of hard things about being in business, a lot of perplexing things. But one of the hardest things is removing someone that you believed in, who proves that they don't need to be on the team anymore. And, I wish I could just erase those things from my memory, to be honest with you.
Yep. So what does working from your happy place mean to you? This is our signature question. It's always interesting to hear the different comments.
It means putting my feet on the ground in the morning. Every single morning. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what the day's schedule looks like. It just matters that I'm getting up and I'm doing something important, and I'm impacting lives. I'm rewarding talent, and I'm fueling a fire. And by fueling other people's fires, it fuels my fire. I don't know if you've ever heard how an artist talks about the audience, right? In that they feed off the energy mm-hmm. of an audience. Well, I feed off the energy of helping and being a part of our audience. The chefs out there, the home cooks out there, the culinary artisans out there, people that are, by and large, the most overworked and underappreciated people in the industry. And right now, everyone's getting a good taste of that with the pandemic.
Right. Having to do all their own cooking.
Right. Or letting people go if you're a restaurateur, or yeah, seeing how restaurateurs cannot make ends meet at 25% of business or 50% of business. You know, it is a tough, tough business.
And yes,
for us to be able to reward those individuals, that fuels my fire. And I hope it fuels theirs, because it can be a wonderful thing. They need more accolades. They need more appreciation. And we just happen to find a way to build a pedestal and put 10 champions on that pedestal every year and reward them financially and with TV awareness and brand contracts and things of that nature. So that's my happy place. Just seeing that occur, making that occur, being focused on that occurring, and putting my feet on the ground every single morning so that I can spring to action to add today's contribution to that effort.
That's awesome. So what advice would you give out there to those listening that are wanting to be entrepreneurs?
You know, I always heard growing up, and I didn't quite understand it because I thought it would make me a golfer. I always heard that you need to find what you love and do what you love.
Yep.
So I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to be a PGA golfer. Well, that didn't quite work out. So I never really put a whole lot of emphasis in that statement until I did find this outlet for my talents and for the aggregate talents of my company to be able to change people's lives, to help them achieve their dreams, to reward a culinary champion every year. I love that. And since I do love that, it's not work to me. It doesn't make me angry to answer an email or a phone call over the weekend. It doesn't irritate me to take one more step toward our ultimate goal. I love doing it. And because I love doing it, it's not a job. It's more of a passion. So my advice is to anyone out there looking to get into something, really experiment with things that you love and see which of those things can be turned into a revenue-generating, satisfying career. And if anything looks like it has those aspects to it, then just tackle it with all your energy, wrestle it to the ground, get yourself back up if it wrestles you to the ground, and try it again. Because once you find what you love, it truly is a magical thing and something that you will look forward to every single day.
I love that answer as you were saying it. I wrote down, gosh, that's such a great point, because, but then you said it and I was like, yay, you can love more than one thing. I think that sometimes people get really confused with that. Well, this is what I love and I can't really make a living out of this, so I might as well go do something I don't love. I hear this a lot. And I really do think, for me, I love music and I always thought I was going to be a musician, and I still love music. I still love playing for fun. Who knows? Someday, I may, when I retire, like, just kick back and have a little bit of fun with it. But I still love it. But it's not what I chose to earn a living at. Because that wasn't the lifestyle that I wanted to have for my whole life. And I saw that, and so I was like, okay, what else am I gonna do? Because I think it's okay to find that you do love more than one thing, and that you can find what that one thing is that's going to work to earn a living. You said it so eloquently. So I just wanted to point that out because it was a huge gold nugget. Sometimes our listeners, they're on treadmills, they're going to work, they're getting ready in the morning, and sometimes you miss those really, really gold nuggets. So I just wanted to point that out. So thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, there are a lot of things that I've loved that I couldn't turn into a business. But once I found the one that I could, it meant all the difference. And just like it's not too far away from that golf dream I had, right? I mean, golf is a sport. And what I found out that I could do is I could turn culinary competitions into what I now call food sport. So not too many variations away from what I really wanted to do. It doesn't involve a golf club or a golf ball, but it does involve achievement and a bit of athleticism and a lot of talent. So I like to think that I'm in the neck of the woods that I need to be.
There you go. So why don't you share in closing then, what are some new and exciting things you're working on? And then how can our audience find you?
So the last thing first, they can find me on Facebook under my name. They can find me under McLeod in the Cloud on Instagram, and they can find me on LinkedIn. You can certainly find and get in touch with me through the worldfoodchampionships.com platform. As far as what I'm working on, right now I'm really working on, I think, the transition aspect, the segue aspect to ultimately retirement. And to do that, I have to make sure that the platform is solid. I have to make sure that this enterprise doesn't rely on one person, meaning me. And to do that, I'm having to build very integrated programs with our sponsors that continue to feed into the championship annually. So one example of that, anyone who goes to the World Food Championships and makes a top 10 category finish now gets put into a retailtainment and social entertainment program that we've developed for Walmart, the world's largest grocery store. So they can actually earn a living in an enterprise that we've, an offshoot of the enterprise that we've developed. And that's something that has a very specific ROI, has a very strategic alignment, and has numerous steps, processes involved that doesn't need Mike McLeod directing every single move. Once we put those things in play, then the system, again, almost like the snowball going downhill that I mentioned earlier, the system starts moving with its own momentum. And that's what I'm working on. Because eventually I want to step away and I want to focus on the other true love of my life, which is my son. He's 2.5 years old and he's already showing great signs of athleticism, and I want to be a great father to him. I want to try to teach him things that I've learned so that he doesn't make the mistakes that I made. He's going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I can save him a few bumps and scratches and skint knees along the way. But I see now that I'm on the western slope of my career, as I like to say. And I want to make sure I leave everything in good hands, and I leave the enterprise in a very solid position so that I can walk hand in hand with my son and see what he's going to do, what his happy place is going to be.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much for being a guest today and for doing everything that you're doing. I am sure that the people that are involved in your competition, I'm sure that really is a rewarding experience for them to be involved in that, and a fun experience. So thank you for what you're doing for all those chefs out there. And thank you for sharing your pearls of wisdom with our audience today. I sincerely appreciate that. And to everyone listening out there, I hope that you will subscribe to our show so that you don't miss a single one of our episodes. And you can always be in the know and find out what some of the great entrepreneurs that we have on our show, just like Mike, are doing. So once again, Mike, thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.